chapter 11 today. Book of John, chapter 11. And we're going to ask God to help us. And got a message from heaven, I believe, for the church. And I trust today God will use this to help somebody, to just move in your heart, to encourage. And even though we're having fellowship dinner after service, service comes first. Amen. This altar call, we're going to focus on the altar call. I'm not in a bit of a rush at all. Amen. Food's good, but finding that heavenly food's even better. Amen. I'm trusting somebody today gets help. I mean that. I just try to obey God what He puts in my heart. John 11 and 32, if you're there, give me a good amen. All right, let's read verses 32 through 35. And very familiar reading. We know this is taking place at the tomb of Lazarus. We know Lazarus is dead. And we know that the story, Mary comes out to Jesus. And this is what it says in 11 and 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was saying, Lord, if You were here, my brother would not have died. He would have lived. You could have done something. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And then the very shortest verse in the Bible, we talked about this last Wednesday night in the trivia. Chapter 11 and 35, simply this, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, yet, as one commentator said, the shortest verses sometimes takes the longest to explain. This beautiful two words, Jesus wept. And I'm going to read one more verse to you. You do not have to turn there. But Psalms 56 and 8 says this, Thou tellest my wanderings. And David says this, Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Anybody ever heard that verse before? Well, we're going to preach this if God helps us. I'm going to preach to you today, or this morning, on our tears in God's bottle. Our tears in God's bottle. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask You, Lord, for Your anointing today. Lord, we ask You to help us. And Lord, today, God, we give reverence to Your Word. And Lord, let us lay everything aside. Lord, if there be a difference, let us lay it aside. If there be, Lord, tiredness of body, Lord, if there be weariness on our journey, whatever it is, God, today, Lord, do not let us be guilty of coming to church unprepared. But God, let us come to church this morning, God, with the Word open, Lord. The beautiful Word of God, help us today be able to minister to somebody's heart. Let somebody in this room understand today You desire to wipe every tear from their eye. Minister, save, touch, heal, and convict in Jesus' holy and divine name. Everybody said, Amen. Has anybody ever asked this famous question before? And sometimes you may have asked it or you heard others ask it. But have you ever heard this question somebody asked before? Does God care? You ever heard that before? Maybe somebody going through a tragedy or a situation of life. This question has been asked throughout the ages by so many different people. Say, for instance, maybe a mother holding a stillborn child. She would maybe ask the question, Lord, where were You? And Lord, do You care? Maybe a husband that loses a wife in an accident. Or maybe a boy, as a boy standing over the casket of his father and tears are falling down. He may ask that question, Lord, what is going on? And that question seems to echo throughout the ages. Does God care? Does God see what we are going through? Maybe if the doctor was to give you a bad report, a deathly report, you may ask that question. I wonder if God cares. I'm going to open up the sermon today with two different stories, and I will try my best not to explain them in detail because it would take too long. But the very first story I'm going to tell you about is one that I read about years ago about a lady by the name of Anna, A-N-N-A. Her name was Anna. And this woman by the name of Anna felt called to be a missionary. And there she began to make plans she began to set aside money. She began to talk to the church. And I forgot exactly where she was planning on going. But in the process, it was going to take a span of time to raise the support that she was going to need before she was able to go on this missionary journey. But in this process of time, this woman by the name of Anna and her husband came expecting little baby boy. She ended up being pregnant there, and so that kind of put a halt on her plans a little bit. But yet she did not completely abandon what she wanted to do. She still wanted to go on the mission field, but she was going to wait till that baby boy got of age to where he could go and travel with them. But one afternoon, this woman by the name of Anna, she was hosting a Bible study there at her house there, and Anna was there, and she said she knew it was about time for her to check on the little baby. And you read the story about Anna, and she said as she went to the room of the little baby, she placed her hand on the doorknob there. She said as she turned the doorknob and she walked into the room, she said instantly she could tell something was wrong. She walked to the crib of that little baby there. She looked over in the eyes of that little baby boy, and that little baby boy was laying there in that crib, just blue in the face, no life left in him. And then Anna began to scream out at the top of her lungs. She grabbed that little baby boy up. She rushed into the living room, and there in the living room, she showed that little baby to her husband. The husband instantly grabbed the baby. The baby was cold. See, they knew the baby was dead, and they knew there was no hope to try to revive that little child. And there the husband, in this act of worship, he did this. He lifted his hands up towards heaven. He had that baby in one hand, and he lifted that hands up towards heaven. And he said, "Lord, thou giveth, and also, Lord, you taketh away." And Anna here began to say, "No, no, it's not time to give him back. We've only had this baby for maybe 2 months." As she looked in that face that resembled her, the question popped in her mind, "Lord, why am I facing this? God, why am I going through this?" So that question was there in her mind. So there, in a way, if you don't mind me saying, she was asking God, "What is going on? Do you really care?" The second story I want to share with you today is about a man by the name of Charles Cooper. Charles Cooper was a young man, a godly young man, who ended up marrying the woman of his dreams, somebody he fell in love with. And there it was, after they had been married about 4 months, his wife needed to go do something back in her old home city. The only way she could get there was far at distance. I forgot where it was. His wife boarded a plane. She went back home and was going to come back in just a few days. This man by the name of Charles Cooper, he went to the airport 2 days later to pick up his wife. He went into the terminal there where you could view the plane coming in. He watched the plane pull up, and he watched as one person, it was a small airport, and after one person after person began to come down off through the plane steps there, he noticed that after the plane was completely empty, his wife did not ever come off the plane. But then he noticed at the back of the plane, he seen a stretcher coming off the back of the plane, and there hanging from that stretcher was an all-familiar purse that he bought his wife some time before they were married, and come to find out his wife, something had happened, some physical complication, and she died while she was aboard that flight. And we can look at these stories today, and both of them stories, we can look at them and understand something. We are looking at two different people, a man and a woman, and we understand that both of these people are facing tragedies, and both of these people are probably wondering in their mind, what is going on? Maybe they are wondering, they're maybe saying to themselves, they're wondering if God really cares. All of us here today have a tragedy. We have something in this world we can relate to somewhere. I cannot explain it all. People die. People will die young. Some of them die old. Some of them get sick and some of them don't. People get in car accidents. People do things we don't understand. I cannot explain it all, but all of us would understand today. All of us have to come to the conclusion that we need to settle this in our mind today, that our God cares what we are going through. Yes, I know sometimes in tragedy we are not thinking clearly. I know that. And we may ask this question if God really cares. But let me tell you today, friend, I want to encourage you that God cares what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing, our God cares about it. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, our God really does care about it. And then talking about this today, we need to understand something. When I read this story in John chapter 11, when she said this, when Mary said these words to Jesus, she said to him, "Lord, if thou wast here, my brother wouldn't live." She was saying, "Lord, if you really cared, if you really were here at that time, my brother would still be alive." What she was saying is, "Lord, why did you not come sooner?" But you would have to understand, in a time and in a setting, in a culture where Jesus lived, there were so many different ideas about who God was and if God really cared for them. I began to study this and became amazed with it. I began to study about about the Greeks that lived in the time of Jesus. And the Greeks there at that time, they believed that God was unable to feel what humanity was going through. The Greeks in their mind, they thought to themselves that God could not feel any emotion. They thought that God could not feel any anger. They thought that God could not feel any love. They thought that God could not feel any pain or disappointment or hope or any of those emotions, because God was God. And that if God was to feel one of those emotions, He was bringing Himself underneath the subjection of man. So hear me today, friend. That's what the Greeks believed. But then you also had that other group of people called the Jews. The Jews should have had the right picture from the Old Testament that reveals God as God's love and compassion. But even the Jews had lost their element and began to result in legalism, where they thought God was distant or not close as He should be. Hear me today, friend, because that same mentality has entered into the church world today. Some people come to church and they are not really convinced if God really cares for them in the capacity that the Bible says He does. And hear me today, friend, also some people come to church and they act like, and I say it all the time, some people pray to God like He's a distant cousin or something. They really don't believe or understand if God really cares for them. But let me ask you this question. I hope you know the answer. Does God care? Okay, that was my introduction. I shoot through them real fast because I want to get to my text in a minute. All right. Now, we know that God cares. And I want to convince you today that there is proof that God feels and that God cares for us. We cannot act as the Greeks act and as if God does not feel us or are able to relate with us. But has anybody ever had a pet or an animal? Anybody? All right, we got a few. Was your pet and animal able to have emotions and feelings at all? Yes. You know, I mean, dogs do. I don't know. I'm not saying they're the smartest things. And I'm not no animal hugger in that level. I'm not saying that they're the same thing as humans. Amen. I ain't saying all dogs go to heaven. I don't know. I'll leave that alone. Amen. But I do understand this, my friend. Hear me. That we are able today to understand that animals can feel. Animals do have emotions. It has been proven that animals have the capacity to feel and have emotions. But listen to that. Animals' emotions or feelings are very, very limited. It is within a certain spectrum. It is very limited. But we also understand we are humans today. Can't we feel? And don't we have emotions? But a study would prove that we have more feeling and more emotions than animals do, because we have a greater capacity to understand than animals do. Amen. When an animal dies or something, they may have another animal may be able to sense that dog is no longer there. But when we lose a loved one, it has more meaning, it has more weight to it, because we are humans. We feel on a different level because there is a greater knowledge than that of animals, and our creation is in a higher order. But let me present this to you today, my friend. If animals can feel, and humans can feel greater than animals because of their capacity, don't you think God can feel? See what I'm saying? Us as humans can feel more than animals because we understand more. Don't you think God understands more than you understand? So His capacity is broadened past ours. So the things we really don't understand, He understands. There's things that we don't even pay no attention to. It's throbbing His heart every day. There's things that we don't even see in our own lives. You may think better of yourself than what you ought to, but there's things even in that own heart of yours, if you're not careful, it can grieve the heart of God and you may not even know it. Amen. That's the truth. I'm telling you, my friend, God feels in a greater capacity. God cares in a greater capacity. It is amazing when we set humanity and animals beside God. Humans are greater than animals, but God is greater than man. We must understand this today. God has a greater capacity and understanding than all humans. Let me give you an example. I can look at you this morning and say, I love you. And I mean that. I love you. God bless you and hope you have. I wish you the best. But you know, God can look at you and say, I love you, and He means it more than I do. Amen. Because I can love you within my ability to see you succeed. I can love you within my ability to understand what you're going through. I can sympathize with you only in my limited knowledge. I can look at you and try to relate with you in such a limited way. But when God says He loves you, and when God says He understands, when God says He knows where you're at, God doesn't have a limited view. He doesn't have limited vision. But when God said He cares for you, He does that with complete understanding. He sees today, tomorrow, yesterday. Yesterday. He knows everything. Thank God we got a God that cares. He cares for you greater than your wife, your husband, your best friend, your Facebook status. God cares for you more than all of it. He cares for you more than your neighbor. He cares for you more than your pastor, because God's capacity is greater than all of ours. You can look at your children and say, I love you. And you mean that to the capacity that you can mean it. But God can look at your children and say, I really do love them. He means it, and He exhausts the term. Sometimes we say things out of habit. Love you, sweetie. Sometimes we say it without even thinking about it. Sometimes we live off of stimulated love. My wife says, Derek, I love you. And sometimes I'm driving, not even paying attention. I love you too, sweetie. And yes, I love her. But in that apparent moment, that was stimulated. I said that because she said it to me at that apparent moment. But let me tell you this. Before you ever had to stimulate God's love, He loved you anyhow. Before you ever said, I love you, Lord, He said, I love you first. Before you ever said, I care for you, He said, no, I care for you. Before you said, Lord, I want to do your will, He looked at you and said, I want you to do my will. God's capacity is greater. Yes, God cares, because He's the God of heaven. And we need to get this in our mind. God sees you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows where you sleep. He knows where you shop. He knows everything about you. Amen. Hello. God cares. Now we look at this and we must understand something. I read to you today and I titled this something very, very unique. The tears of man in God's bottle. I read to you out of John 11 and 33. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and Jesus wept. Four conclusions I want to draw from this today. Four different ideas about God and His bottle of tears. Number one is this. I want you to get this today. How many knows that tears are something that are important? Sometimes we don't appreciate the ability to cry. I went about 2 years as a sinner where I didn't shed a tear that I could remember. And I asked God when I got saved, I said, Lord, let me cry again. And I hadn't stopped crying since. I'm a crybaby, man. We put our first Christmas ornament on the tree. I'm crying. You see the wedding video, me at the wedding. I left all my manhood right at the altar, man. I just up there. I was crying. I was a sniffling. I fumbled through my bowels and everything. I was just a sniffling. And then with the tuxedo, they give you a silk handkerchief, and that doesn't do much. I'm telling you, it doesn't absorb anything. I'm up there just taking my sleeve and wiping my eyes and, you know, find out we were expecting this little baby. I got to crying. And we put a little Christmas ornament on the tree for this year. I got to crying. I'm pretty sure when the baby's born, I'm going to cry. I thank God that I have tear ducts and I'm able to cry, because crying and emotionality in your spirit has something to do with it. I could write somebody a letter today and really mean it. But if I write that letter and you're reading the letter and there's tear stains all over the page, you knew I really meant it. Thank God that that soft heart inside of you, God can take that brick, old solid heart, He can make it soft. That's the problem, my friend. Sometimes in churches, we begin to put a Stonewall Jackson face on. Come on now. We begin to come to church and we sit there like we're molded in concrete. We act like our emotions. If the Holy Ghost is going to move me, He's going to have to do a pretty good job of doing it. If the Holy Ghost is going to stir my heart, He's going to have to get past my pride. He's going to have to get past my mentality. He's going to have to get past my prejudices. He's going to have to get past this. But I'm telling you today, friend, I want my spirit to be in tune with heaven. If God wants to move through my heart, I want to be sensitive enough that the tears can flow, that God can minister to hearts, that God can use me. Thank God I'm able to shed a tear or two in the house of God. Amen. Come on, man. You know it ain't your favorite thing to do is break down and cry in front of somebody. But sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. We come to the altars and we just got this, got it on. And then we're like, Lord, I need your help, God. But when's the last time you cried out to Him and it flowed out of you like a river and God was touching your heart? So tears are important. And let me come to the conclusion. First thing is this. God notices our tears. God sees our tears. Nothing is more apparent than this in the story of Christ weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. For the text tells us this, that Jesus began to weep when He saw others doing what? Weeping. He comes to the tomb. Here it is, Mary there. He said, the Bible says, as He sees them, Mary gets to crying and everybody else is crying with them. And all of a sudden, here it is. These beautiful words come out of nowhere. As everybody else is sitting there crying, all of a sudden the Bible breaks forth in this text that Jesus wept. Here it is. Jesus sees these people crying. He sees what they have lost. He sees what they are going through. He didn't sit there and act like a distant God. He didn't act like He was an enemy of them. But He looked at them, and you know what He did? He sat down where they were. He brought Himself to their level. He began to have tears stream down His face. He began to weep with them. I'm telling you, friend, our God sees and notices our tears. Every tear that you shed, my friend, it could be in the midnight hour. It could be at times of confusion. It could be when you're trying to make the decisions of life. You may shed bitter tears, but I tell you, my friend, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning, because there's a God in heaven that sees your tears and knows all about them. David said it a lot. He said, my tears have become my meat night and day. He talked about the fact that he would lay there and he would weep and he would cry and he would shed those tears. But hear me today, friend. My God sees your tears. Many places in the Bible we can notice this. We could go to John chapter, I believe it's chapter 4 if my mind serves me right. We know that Jesus is going through Samaria. He sees that woman by the Jacob's well. He says to her, woman, why are you doing what? Why are you weeping? Aren't you glad, you know, I'm glad I don't serve the God that some people portray in their lives. I'm just saying, I'm glad I serve the God of the Bible. Here it is. Jesus comes up on the well. That woman's sitting there crying. There have been some people, just like the more religious you read about in the Good Samaritan. A lot of people probably walked right past her. Didn't notice there was a tear streaming down her face. Didn't notice something was going on there. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, here He is. He comes into the scenario and He says, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why are you sitting there? And what it was, He took notice of her tears. I want to let you know tonight, God notices your tears. No matter when it is or what time it is, our God notices our tears. Notice this also. Number two, the second conclusion is this. He not only does He notice our tears, He is touched by them. He is touched by our tears. Jesus was touched by the tears of Mary and the others. It is because of this that He wept with them. In the same way the Father is touched in the same manner, He sees us and God weeps with His people, if you don't mind me saying. That's why David says this in one place. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their cries. Notice this, you got three verbs here. Notice this, He hears their cries. He does not ignore their cries. And His ears are attentive to their cries. So when somebody begins to cry out to the Lord, I want to let you know today, friend, God sees them. If your neighbor doesn't see them, if you come to this altar today and your neighbor doesn't take notice of your tears, I'm telling you, there's a God of heaven that's remembering your tears. He sees your tears. You're not alone. You're not facing that by yourself. God notices and is touched by your tears. So why hold back? Why try to carry everything on your own? You're not going to rationalize your way out of everything in life. Sometimes where God wants you, He wants you to lay on your face. He wants the tears. He wants to flow through you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make your heart and mind anew. The things we hold up in our spirit. Understand today, you need to understand that God can be touched through your tears. Number three is this. I want you to get this today. Not only does God see our tears, not only is God touched by our tears, but God remembers our tears. Oh my. I read to you today out of Psalms 56 and 8. It says this. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Man's tears in God's bottle. David is writing here telling on this occasion of the many griefs he has had. He had resulted in his life, the deeds of his enemies, the fight against him, that slander him, that are distorting his words. They hide themselves in order to fall upon him and surprise and destroy him. But notice here, David makes a peculiar request unto the Lord. He said, Lord, put thou my tears into a bottle. But now it is. And what David is letting us understand this, the only bottles at this time, really, there wasn't the glass ones, but it was those leather bottles, the kind that Jesus later turned them as wineskins. He is telling him that God possesses such a bottle. He possesses such a capacity that He's able to collect and to remember our tears spiritually. When you cry your tears, they may hit the altar, or they may hit your couch at home. They may hit the carpet at the house there. They may hit the hospital floor. They may hit the casket. They may land on a tombstone. They may be landing on the seat of your vehicle beside you. But when tears are flowing down your face, they may dry up. They may disappear in this world. But I'm telling you, the righteous, the children of God, God sees the tears. He don't let them just dissipate to nothing. But God sees them. He writes them down. And He remembers them. He can do that because He's God. I wonder, how many tears have I shed over things to do with spiritual matters? I told you already I'm a crybaby, and I've got no pride in that. I'm a crybaby. I weep, I cry. You know, them tears will disappear sometimes. I won't think nothing else about them. But every now and then, God reminds me, I saw you weeping about that problem, Derek, and I'm going to come through on it. I seen you weeping about that situation at the church, Derek, and I'm going to move on the request. I seen you crying about that lost loved one, Derek, and look, I remembered your tears. I remember this. I'm telling you, friend, just hear me today and take what I feel like God's put in my spirit. God sees your tears. He wrote them down. He knows all about them. In other words, what David is saying here about his tears being bottled up. In other words, God notices the tears of His people. He is touched by them, and He places them in remembrance before Him. If you are God's child, know that He treasures your tears, and remember that after a while, they will not be forgotten, even though you forget them. Hello, praise the Lord. I'm glad God does this. I read something about, and this is not what David was referring to, but have you ever heard of the tradition of tear bottles? Anybody ever heard of those? It's weird, to be honest with you. But in the Roman culture, what they would do was this. The Romans actually would have tear bottles. They would actually have bottles around the time of Christ when mourners would begin to lose somebody and somebody was mourning. They would take glass bottles or cups with tears and place them in the burial tombs as symbols of respect. And the people that had the most bottles of tears in their tomb would be somebody that was really, really missed. That's just weird. I know. And I guarantee I might not even get half a bottle full when I die. I know that. But I'm not asking you to shed a tear for me, because I know God remembers my tears. I when I'm gone, I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. But understand this. I even read about this in the Victorian period of the 19th century, when those mourning the loss of loved ones, they would collect their tears in bottles with special stoppers that allowed the tears to evaporate. When the tears had evaporated, the mourning period for that lost loved one would end. Isn't that something? You can condense it down to a bottle. I even read something a little more recent in some American Civil War stories. Women were said to have cried into tear bottles and saved them until their husband returned from battle. Their collected tears would show the men how much they were missed and they were adored when they were gone. What I'm trying to say is, even in a culture that was heathenistic at that time, they saw the importance of tears and they wanted to preserve them the best they could. But I want to tell you today, my friend, you ain't got to preserve them yourself. There's a Savior in heaven. There's a God in heaven that is mindful and He knows what you're going through, and He has collected your tears in His remembrance. Fourth and final point here. Not only does God notice, not only is God touched, not only does God remember our tears, God acts to remove our tears. When I read this beautiful story, I understand that God notices us. But suppose for a minute here in the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, just suppose for one moment that the 11th chapter of John had ended with the verse that saying, instead of saying Jesus wept, it went on to say this, that Jesus wept and returned to the area that He came from. What if the Bible just simply said Jesus wept and all of a sudden Jesus left? What if the Bible says Jesus wept? He took His sleeve, He dried His eyes, but He got up and He left the tomb of Lazarus. That would not have meant too much to somebody. But notice this today. Jesus wept in the story, but not only did Jesus weep, but Jesus did something about the problem that His children, that Mary and Martha, were going through. Not only did He cry, not only did He sit there and weep with them, not only did He see their tears, but He took the situation that they thought was the worst thing in the world, and He began to He took Lazarus out of the tomb. Here it is a beautiful story here, my friend, that not only does God see our tears and feel our tears, but God will do something about our tears. Amen. I guess I'm feeling this more than some of us are. Amen. God not only sees them, but He does something about it. Are you convinced of that? Has anybody had God dry up their tears a little bit? I felt God in my life many times. He works in every life a little different, I know that. But I've had God many times come into that prayer closet and whisper in my ear or in my spirit, however you want to term it. God came in the prayer closet and pretty much He said, dry your eyes, wipe your nose, everything's going to be all right. Think about this. Think about what Mary was going through as Jesus is there at the mouth of that tomb there. He didn't go in the tomb, but He said something like this, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, as I already quoted to you, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I can just imagine it. As Lazarus is coming out of the tomb, I can see Mary that was sitting there crying a minute ago. I can see her maybe wiping her eyes. The tears of doubt, the tears of distress, the tears of bitterness are now tears of victory, tears of joy, tears of understanding, tears of faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever cried bitter tears? But then when you got on the other side of your problem, you were still crying, but there was nothing bitter about your tears. They were sweet as honey. They were rich, they were vibrant, because there it was, you were weeping a little while ago, and Jesus was looking at you and saying, look, I understand what you're going through, but here it is, you're on the other side of the issue, and not only did God help you and weep with you and encourage you and remember you, but God did something about the problem you were having. We read this throughout the Old Testament. We've got to move along here. We read throughout the Old Testament that He notices tears. The psalmist says this, for You have delivered my eyes from tears. Again, we'll find words like this. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy or victory. And we also can read throughout Isaiah, He shall swallow up death forever. The Lord will wipe all tears away from their eyes or their faces. Hear me today, friend. God sees our tears. And guess what? He's wanting to do something about them. But you have to let them. You know, Mary could have sat there at the tomb of Lazarus, weeping and crying. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, look, remove that stone. There was a stone, there was a closure over the mouth of that cave. If they did not obey the directions, they'd have sat there and kept on crying. But Jesus says, look, obey me. Oh, take away that stone there. Hear me today, friend. You may be sitting there crying today, but God has given you a word of obedience. But if you do not listen to Him, you're going to continue to cry the tear of bitterness. But notice this today, friend. God wants you to cry tears of joy. I'm going to read to you out of Revelation 7 and Revelation 21. This is just Scripture verbatim. And if this doesn't excite you, as the old preacher says, your spoon fell out your bowl a long time ago. Pick it up. Get you another helping. That's just country terms. We can use that. Amen. God used parables. I use North Carolina parables. Revelation 7 and 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelations 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Hallelujah. No more crying. No, all the tears you shed in this world about fallen nature and fallen issues in a fallen world. God said He's going to take a handkerchief, and let me put it this way, He's going to wipe the tears from your eye. And not only that, He's going to do away with the capacity of crying altogether in this context. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Shout to God, hallelujah! No more pain. Amen. There you go. At least get a few out there on that one. No more pain, for the former things are passed away. As my wife comes to the piano, our tears are in God's bottle. David meant by that term, as you study it, when God took tears, the idea of having tears in a bottle was the idea of remembering our tears. Guess what, my friend? You've lived a life so far. I'm sure you shed some tears, haven't we? Can I tell you it won't be your last? But can I tell you this? I know a good person to take your tears to, and His name is Jesus. I'm going to end this message today with a small story, if you don't mind me indulging me a little longer. I read a story, and the name of the book is called The Scent of Water by Naomi Zacharias. It's one of the most profound books written on human suffering. I think there really is. Very mature book, very deep, but very powerful. Naomi Zacharias, the daughter of Rabbi Zacharias, you may have heard of him. But Naomi Zacharias, one day, she went to an orphanage. I may have told this here, I can't remember, but she went to an orphanage in a foreign country. And as she walked through the doors of this orphanage, she noticed that it was in complete chaos. It was a daycare, one portion of the orphanage there. And she noticed as she walked around the children, their clothes, they would use the bathroom on themselves all the time. There was nobody there to change their clothes. And it was just a horrible situation. She said, it stunk in there. You had little toddlers. You had two-year-olds. You had infants laying there. And I even read another time, another account of a similar situation. There was a man that wrote a book called Orphan Justice. He came into an orphanage, something like this, just to give you a picture of how bad it is. And underneath the high chairs, they would put pots and pans, and that's where the excess and body, the decrements from the body would go. There's just no way to take care of that. So here Naomi Zacharias is. She goes into this orphanage. She starts trying to help these little children. She's picking some of them up. She's hugging them. She said, after a while, she said she was so burdened, she wasn't worried about the smell. She wasn't worried about their clothes, them using the bathroom on themselves. But she said she noticed in the corner of that daycare, on a sheet of plywood was laying a little boy in the corner of the daycare. She walked over to that little corner there, and that little boy was laying there. And come to find out, he had been paralyzed. He was a person that was completely immobile. He was paralyzed, and he couldn't move his arms, couldn't move his neck, couldn't move his feet, from what I understand. Maybe had some facial expression. So she says she went over there on that piece of plywood. She says she simply took her hand and she placed it on the forehead of that little boy and began to rub his forehead. She said at first as she looked, and she said she didn't even know if he could understand. They didn't speak the same language. But she said all of a sudden that little boy's eyes looked over towards her. And as she said she noticed something, tears began to run down his face. He couldn't move his legs. couldn't move his arms, couldn't sit up, would use the bathroom on himself, laying on that plywood. But he still had a spirit. Tears running down his face. She said, as she was rubbing his forehead, rubbing his head, holding his hand, rubbing his head, she said, time began to fly by. She said, her and that little boy were in another world. They were communicating in a way that was above even the physical, than the natural. She said, her time was coming where she had to leave. I forget, maybe an hour or something. Her and that young boy were there. He was looking at her crying, and she was rubbing him. You know what it was? That little boy appreciated the touch. He appreciated that. Tears running down his face. And I thought to myself as preparing for this message, and I read that story years ago and it's always stuck out to me. And I've witnessed some small similar things on the mission field. But there was something I realized about this story. If there was one thing that I could tell that little boy, if I could somehow communicate in a language to where he could understand me, I would tell that little boy this. I would tell him, little boy, don't be ashamed to cry. Because your tears, son, God notices your tears. Son, even though you can't do anything athletically, God is touched by your tears. Son, God remembers your tears. And son, I cannot do much for you. And I cannot say I understand everything about this world. But if you can understand this, one day, God is going to wipe away your tears. Church, God made you an emotional creature. God, you cannot touch God by your senses, no matter how hard you try. You can't smell Him. I don't think nobody's seen Him. And I know there's visions at times, but that's still the spirit of the eye. The spirit of the eye. But understand this today, my friend. You're not connected to God through your senses. But you can touch God through a spirit that is open to Him. Don't be ashamed to cry. Maybe you're here today as you stand to your feet. Maybe